I hope and pray you're having a good 2015. I know last year seemed to go by rather fast. 2015. This year, I know last week I shared with the church the theme for this year that the Lord has placed upon my heart for our church that I hope and pray will challenge our church this year as we serve the Lord in 2015. And the theme is the whole Bible to the whole world is the theme this year. It's something I know that our church, years past, I believe, it was a theme for our church at one time. And I think it's good to bring the focus back to reaching the world, reaching the lost world. And we're going to try to keep this theme in front of our church throughout the entire year. You get online or you'll notice some of the pictures. We're going to have images of places of the world with this on their whole Bible to the whole world. And we began with Little Rock. If you'll notice online or even back there in our hallway, the first picture is a picture of Little Rock. Because this is where it begins for us as a church. It begins with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. The people we know here in this city are the people that we are to reach. This is our mission field as a church. And if we reach our mission field, then not only will we see souls saved, but we'll be blessed in our community, and also we'll be able to support and send out more missionaries abroad throughout the world. And so it's important for us to reach our mission field. The series this morning, or this year, is primarily going to be from Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, but don't turn there yet. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2 this morning. That's just where most of it's going to be. But I'm going to lead up to that. Last week we had Acts chapter 1. This morning I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2. Because there are some teachings along the way we need before we can really dive into that chapter. And that's the chapter we see that the church was effective. The church witnessed and took the gospel out to not only their city, but also outside their city and to the people around them. And God really blessed. But this morning we're going to be at the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see the immediate results that the church was given because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is often, I think, misunderstood as a being. Some see the Holy Spirit as a force, something they can grab hold of and, I guess, they wield and use to their power and their strength. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's actually opposite. The Holy Spirit grabs hold of us if we yield to Him, and then He'll work through our lives. And so we're going to see that this morning, that that's what the Spirit did right away, immediately. That's what we find with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation," it says there, "under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You again for the blessings You've given to us, and I thank You for those that are able to be here this morning. I pray that You'll help us to set aside our cares and concerns that we may have for a few minutes to focus on Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You'll not only make Your Word known to us as far as the knowledge, but Lord, I pray that You'll provide Your wisdom from Your Word on how we should apply this to our life and to our church. And I pray that You'll bless us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the church was given an order. And that order was to take the gospel to the world. We find it in the Gospels, and we find it in Acts chapter 1. It's a clear order. And when an order is given, especially when it comes from Jesus Christ, there should be no argument whatsoever. There's no discussion. It's just obedience is expected. You know, when you think of the order, take the gospel to the world, it's an incredible command. A daunting task. Even today, you know, with our technology, the Lord's blessed us or allowed us to be blessed with technology. I tell you what, we can travel the world over a lot quicker than they could then. And that's a blessing. But even today, when you think about taking the gospel out to the entire world, it's a large task. There's a lot of work involved. And there are many people in this world, and many of them are whether they live in large cities or small villages, they're spread out, and it's a large task or daunting task sometimes to take or to think of taking the gospel to the world. And I really believe without God's power, it's an impossible task. We can't do it without God. But you see, our Lord knew that. Nothing gets by Him. He knew that in our power and our strength, we would be unable to carry out the Great Commission. And that's why I think we find in Acts chapter 1, Jesus commanded, if you look over Acts chapter 1, notice what He told them. It says there, and we go back to Acts chapter 1, and it says in verse 7, it says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." But notice He says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." See, they were to wait for the power of the Spirit. They weren't to go out in their own power and their own strength or their own abilities. They were not to invent their own methods or their own philosophies or their own teachings. They were to take or wait until the Spirit empowered them, and then they were to go out and take the gospel that they had, and they were to take it to the world. See, that's the direction that God gave them. You see, they were not to attempt it in their own strength or their own effort. You know, when we try to do God's work in our own power, our own strength, two things usually happen. First, we often quit. Because when we attempt to do work in our power and our strength, especially God's work, then we're going to fall short. We're going to realize that it's impossible without God. And then we'll be tempted to quit, and often we will quit. Or here's the second thing that often happens. We'll compromise. That's what's happened in our world today. A lot of churches and Christians have attempted to do God's work without His power, found it to be impossible, so they began to turn to the world and the ways of the world, or allow the world in to help take the gospel out. Both those are problems. We're to wait, or they were to wait for the Spirit, and when the Spirit arrived, He would provide the power that was necessary to carry the gospel to the world. And that's what the Bible tells us. So the Spirit of God provides what is needed for us to do God's work. See, that's for us this morning, 2015. Holy Spirit's still the same. He has not changed. And He'll still provide the power to take the gospel to the lost. And that's what I want to encourage you with here this morning. I have three thoughts from this passage. We're going to look at the Spirit's presence, and then we're going to look at the Spirit's power, and then we're going to look at the Spirit's purpose this morning. As far as His presence, notice it says there, it says, "When the day of Pentecost," verse 1, "was fully come, they were all with one accord, one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, as these men and women were waiting for the Spirit, I believe they were all saved. That was already taken care of. They had already trusted in Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit had already worked in their heart. And by the way, turn if you would to Titus chapter 3. I want you to notice salvation is the work of the Spirit. Now, I know the atonement is Christ. As far as Jesus Christ, He's provided the atonement. He laid down His life on the cross for our sin. But as far as the actual work in our heart, if you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible tells us there, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, the Holy Ghost is the one who works in the heart. If you're saved here this morning, which I hope and pray that you are, it's because the Holy Spirit has washed your heart. He's regenerated and given you new life. And that's the work of the Spirit. And once He changes your life, the Bible tells us He now dwells with believers. According to 1 Corinthians 6, you're now the temple of the living God. You see, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence with you. You're not in union with Him. You're not equal to Him. None of us is equal to God. But He is with us to guide us and direct us and to provide all that we need. See, that's the work of the Spirit. So they were already saved. And we have an account here of the men and the women that were there being filled with the Spirit. And then the men, under the direction of the Spirit, the apostles, go out and began to preach Jesus Christ. Now, here's some thoughts I'm going to share with you from this passage that I noticed. First, this was not their idea. You ever notice that? I think had the Spirit not arrived, they would have remained in that upper room. They were waiting, is what they were doing. This was the work of the Spirit in their life. You see, once the Spirit came, these men went out and began to share the gospel with others. See, that's the type of change that the Spirit will bring into the life of a believer. Not only will He give encouragement and comfort, but He'll also give a desire to share that with somebody else. Now, you may not be called to be a preacher or a pastor or a missionary, but I believe once the Spirit's within your heart, you're going to have a desire to share that blessing with somebody. your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your coworker, your friend, your neighbor. You're just going to share with them the blessings that God has given to you because of your changed life. And that's what we find here. The Spirit moved these men, and they went outside, and they went before the people, and they preached Jesus Christ. Now let's think about what the Spirit was able to do with these men on that day. First, He was able to provide some direction. That way they could be in God's will. You know, the Spirit can still provide direction for us too. So we can be in God's will, doing God's work. Secondly, He provided power so they could serve God. You know, this morning, the Spirit can provide power for you. So you can serve God where you are, where you live, where you work. You can be faithful to the Lord. Also, the Spirit gave courage and boldness, which we need, by the way, in 2015, even here in the United States of America. We need courage to go out. We need boldness to proclaim the Word of God. You don't think these men feared? Why do you think they stayed in that room during the 3 days Jesus Christ was in the grave? They were afraid, the Bible tells us. They were fearful. And even afterwards, they were unsure of many things. This was the city that had taken their Savior and crucified Him. I imagine many of them thought, well, maybe I'm next. Especially Peter and John and some of those that were a little bit more outspoken. Yet we find them going out and preaching boldly, proclaiming Jesus Christ. You see, that's the effect of the Spirit. These were the same men that fled in fear. Remember when Jesus was taken, these men ran out of the garden afraid. You see, the men were the same. It was the Spirit's presence that made the change. The Holy Spirit provided power. Also, we find that the Spirit worked in the hearts of other people around them. You know, this morning, let's not believe the Spirit is limited in His work. You know, the Spirit can work in our heart. The Spirit can work in the heart of your friend, of your co-worker. The Spirit can even work in the life of a non-believer. He's God. He is able to work, whether it's to bring about His will or to bless you in a certain way. So let's trust in the Spirit. That's what happened here. He worked in the hearts of others. That's why they came running. That's why they came to hear what was happening. They wanted to know what was going on. See, He worked in the heart of the lost so that way God's people could live and they could serve in the world. Here's the last thought I'll give you on the Spirit that day. He took the message and He made it understandable. We had people here from all over the Mediterranean, all over the East there that were gathered that day, Jews that spoke many different languages. And the Bible says that they all heard it in their own language. You see, the Spirit was able to make that message understandable so that way their work could be effective. You know, the best advice ever given to me, or some of the best advice ever given to me as a pastor when I first went into the ministry was another pastor who had retired, who had served the Lord many years. And I remember we were talking, and I was talking about the ministry and about preaching and teaching. And you know what he told me? He said, he goes, preach the truth. He said, and let the Holy Spirit work. Amen. He said, if you preach the truth, he goes, the Holy Spirit can take that truth and work in the hearts of those that are sitting here, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. He said, don't try to do the Holy Spirit's work. Let Him do the work. That's some of the best advice given to me. Just preach the truth. That's what happened here. They preached, and the Spirit worked in the hearts of the people. So we find that the Spirit is able to work, and I want to say this, He's able to work today in the same way. Amen. So we must, if we want the Spirit to work, what we have to do is yield our life to God. Turn if you would to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 talks about yielding or being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're good Baptists, so we take that first part literally, right? I mean, we make it very clear. Be not drunk with wine. We preach it, we teach it, we talk about it, and we encourage it. But that second part is just as important. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit work in our life. We need to yield our life to Him. In other words, our will and our desire and our wishes and our wants, we need to give those to the Lord so that way He'll work in our life. You know, this morning, it's just about submitting our life to God. That means if we're going to submit to the Spirit and let Him work, we have to repent of our sin. Sin will hinder the work of the Spirit. Also, we need to pretty much set aside our pride and be humble before God. Live a humble, I guess, not only a humble life, but a humble attitude before the Lord, seeking His help and His direction. You know, the Bible gives us a warning concerning the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to quench not the Spirit. So we're told not to grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. To grieve means to hurt or to offend. To quench means to, pretty much, to set aside or to hinder is what it's referring to. You know, my thoughts on this is, as believers, if we're not careful, we can make a mess of things. Right? I know we're saved. We've been saved. We trust in Christ. But when we act in the flesh, we can make a mess of things. And sometimes we tend to make a mess of things. Doing what we want, seeking our own desire, going after our own wishes instead of seeking after the Lord. You know, this happens when we attempt to live in our own power, our own strength, or when we seek the things that are in the world, or sometimes just when we're concerned over things that we have no control over. We worry and we fret instead of giving those things to God. You know, what often happens, I think, is the Spirit works. Think about the work of the Spirit in our life. He comforts, He guides, He directs. You know, sometimes the Spirit is so busy working to get us through difficulties of our own making. Sometimes the Spirit is so busy trying to encourage us from worrying about things that are off in the future that no wonder He's grieved. Think about this. No wonder He's grieved. He spends so much time working on all these problems we brought into our life instead of spending that time where He could empower us to take the gospel out. You see, that's how we can grieve the Spirit, by bringing things into our life that He'll deal with those. He'll help us through those. The Bible teaches that. But when will He have time to teach us and guide us and empower us and give us the not only the knowledge that He has, but also the power to go out and take the gospel to the world? You see, that's why we're to set aside sin. That's why we're to yield to the Lord, so that way He can work through us like He did those men there and those women in the book of Acts, where they could take the gospel out. Now, this was the first thing the Spirit led them to do. And before we move on to our second point, I want to remind you of that. You see, the Spirit was sent so they could serve the Lord. And the Lord's last command, which was to take the gospel out, appears to be the Spirit's priority. That is, to take the gospel to a lost world. That's what we're left here to do. Take the gospel out. So let's not lose sight of the Spirit's work. Yes, He'll guide. Yes, He'll teach. Yes, He'll comfort. Yes, He'll provide teachings. But also, and I think we find it here, the priority is to take the gospel out. He'll give us power to be witnesses to the world of Jesus Christ's saving grace. So the Spirit's presence changed their lives, and they were able to witness to all that could hear. Now let's look at the Spirit's power. Let's look at this incredible power that took place on that day. It says there in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Here's the power of the Spirit. You know what the Spirit did? He took their tongues, is what He did, their organs of the flesh, and He used them for His purpose. You see, He didn't expect them to do great miracles or great, I guess, achievements in their own power. All he really expected was for them to yield to Him, and then He'd work through them. And that's what took place. You see, this was a miracle. I think it was evidence of the Spirit's presence with them. These men were changed. Bible tells us all these men, all the apostles, were Galileans, except for Judas. Now, he's gone by now. But the others were Galileans, and Galileans were looked down upon for being poor. And for the most part, they thought they were uneducated. You know, they thought, oh, they're just, you know, uneducated fools, so to speak. You know, sometimes that can happen. Believers can be looked down upon like that. Sometimes I think they think believers just fell off the turnip truck, that we have no education and can't think for ourselves. That's what they thought about the Galileans. And so we have these men here all of a sudden preaching in all sorts of languages. And they could understand. Now think of this. This is Jerusalem. These men had been here. And they had been with Christ. And I imagine, well, not imagine, I know none of them spoke in other languages before this day. And so people or men that were sitting there and began to hear them speak. Now get this, not just speak. You know, I have a hard time with English sometimes. I try to speak a little Spanish. I try to speak a little Spanish. I get myself in trouble trying to speak a little Spanish, saying the wrong things. They weren't trying. The Bible tells us that they were understood clearly. Now that word tongue is from the word dialectos, which means a dialect. We're not talking about gibberish here, by the way. We're talking about known languages. Now, had they been talking gibberish, that would have been confusion. We don't get surprised by confusion, right? We hear confusion a lot. You go to the nursery, you know, infants talk that way. Confusion. Sometimes we as adults can be confused, just talking and rambling. What surprised or what impressed these people is that they could be understood clearly in their language. Right. Now let's put this in perspective. Could you imagine? We'll just take, what if we had 12 preachers up here? And what if we had a room filled with thousands of people and they were all from all over the world and they all spoke different languages, and all of a sudden as these men began to preach at the same time, people could understand clearly in their own language. That's amazing. That's a miracle. That's the power that the Spirit provided. Everyone heard them that day, heard them clearly. The Bible tells us at the end of this chapter that many trusted in Christ. Many were saved on that day. Now I'm going to give you some facts about tongues real quick so we don't get confused on this, because it's a confusing subject in our world today. First off, nobody was saved by speaking in tongues. You don't find that. There are some who believe that, but the Bible does not teach that. We're saved by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it. Salvation is not through any other person or anything else. It's through Jesus Christ. So there were nobody saved that day. Also, nobody remained saved. You know, I hear that too. If you haven't, some will say you got to receive your second or third blessing, and then you can know you're saved and you can speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't teach that. Right. Nobody was kept by their ability to speak in tongues. Actually, they were kept by God's power. That's why they were saved, or why they remain saved. Also, there's no evidence. You read through the book of Acts, there's no evidence that the apostles continued to speak like this. Now, some later spoke, but there's no evidence that this happened again. Actually, it appears that it did not. Everything leads to believe that this was a one-time event, that the men went out. We don't find the Apostle Paul having this ability as he went out. We find him often talking and dealing with other people, but we don't find this being mentioned. Also, another thing is tongues were used to testify of salvation of Jesus Christ to believers. It was not to bring attention to the apostles. And that's one of the false things of tongues today, is it's to bring attention to the people. They weren't bringing attention to themselves. They were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what was important. You see, the Holy Spirit, here's where I think we find here. Here's the teaching of the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit on that day proved that the gospel could overcome all barriers. Now think about language for a minute. Genesis 11 tells us where we got our languages. It's because men, once again, pride was involved. Men and women wanted to build a tower to reach God. And they built this tower, and they were building and building and building, and God saw how foolish it was. And so God came down and he confounded the people, confounded them, and they all spoke different languages. You know what's interesting is it's still confusion today. Languages are still a barrier. You know, you travel the world over and you may have to take different books or different interpreters to help you out. Languages are still a barrier in our world today. You know what we find on this day? The Holy Spirit proved that the gospel and his power, he could overcome the barriers that we have in this world. Now, to me, this is encouraging as a pastor, and it should be encouraging as a church. You know, when we go out to take the gospel out to our community, as we continue to take the gospel to the lost, we know that our God, our Holy Spirit, has the power to get through the boundaries that are there. Now, the boundaries may not be language. I've met some who think that their sin is so terrible that they can't be saved. And I can tell them, no, you're wrong. Jesus Christ died for sin, and you can be saved. Some think, because of the way they were brought up, that they got no hope. And I tell them, you're wrong. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and ye shall find rest. You see, the boundaries are removed when it comes to salvation, and that's what we find on this day. There's no limitation. First off, there's no limitation when it comes to the gospel. As a pastor, I can stand up and say, salvation is for all who believe. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to believe. But for those that put their faith in Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. I can share that with people. You can share that with your friends and your family. As a church, we should proclaim that there is salvation, and it's for those that believe. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your class. It doesn't matter your career. It doesn't matter where you're from or where you're going. You can be saved. Everyone can be saved if they trust in Christ, and Jesus is the Savior. Also, there's no limitation to the Spirit's power. Now, let's really, as a church, let's understand that. Let's let that sink in. This morning, there is no limitation to the Spirit's power. The Spirit is able to change any heart. You know, this year, as we really, 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 I'm going to throw in another really, as we really attempt to take the gospel out to our city, I hope and pray that we reach as many as possible and that we continue to do this. Let's remember this, that the Spirit is able to change any heart. He's able to crack the hardest heart. You see, when we go out, we should not look at someone and say, well, no, the Spirit can work. Let's take the gospel to them. And then let's leave it there. If they reject it, or if they refuse to hear, let's leave it there and continue on. But we may be surprised. That seed may be planted. And the Spirit may use that in the years to come to crack that heart and to see someone saved. You know, I wasn't saved the first time I heard the gospel. I know I've shared that with the church plenty of times. I wasn't saved the first time I heard the gospel. And I thank the Lord that the Spirit continued to work until my heart was cracked and I was saved. So don't be discouraged if someone is not saved immediately. Continue to take the gospel and pray for them. Look for doors to open up. Also, the Spirit is able to lead in any endeavor. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing. There is no job too big for God. There is no mountain too high for God to climb. There is no trouble too big that God cannot get you through. You see, the Spirit is able to lead you in any endeavor. Of course, the subject this morning is taking the gospel out. So He's able to give us the power to take that gospel to our city and to our community and to our friends, our family. A little bit ago, we talked about boldness and courage. Sometimes that's all that's needed. But the Spirit is able to give that to us. So let's not underestimate His power. The Holy Spirit provides power to do what God commands. Here's the third thought this morning, our third and final thought. Let's look at the Spirit's purpose. The Spirit's purpose, it says there in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then He says there, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So we have the list there, verses 5 through 13 goes on to tell us about the people that were present on that day from all over the area there. And some began to mock. And notice what it says in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. He says, For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken, he says, of the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to tell a little bit of the prophecy of what's to, you know, of Joel, what he would speak of. Then he talks to, challenges the nation. I want you to skip on down. And it says here, Verse 31, He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Here's the purpose of the Spirit this morning, the purpose of the Spirit, and that is Jesus Christ. Salvation. The work of Christ. You see, these men preached Christ crucified. But they didn't stop there. They preached Christ alive. You see, yes, He was crucified. But He didn't remain on the cross. He was taken down. He was put in the grave. But He didn't remain in the grave. 3 days later, He arose. He's alive today. They saw Him with their eyes. He ascended into heaven. And there He is at the right hand of God the Father. See, that's the message that they had to proclaim. That Jesus Christ is alive. You know, they didn't give a historical lecture. Now, I enjoy history. And historical lectures have their place. They didn't provide a motivational speech. They preached Jesus Christ. They preached salvation. They preached sin. They preached the guilt of sin. They preached the need of repentance. And then they challenged the people to get right with God. You see, that's needed today as a church. Now, you may not everyone's called to be a preacher or a pastor or a missionary. But we all are called to be witnesses. Actually, the Bible talks about us all being ministers. We're to minister to one another. We're all called to be witnesses, and we're all to take the gospel out. Where you work, where you live. You know, the Lord may lead you to people that no one else can reach. That's why He's got you where He has you. So He can work with you right where you are, to be a blessing to the other believers, and to be a testimony to the lost. And that's the work of the Spirit, to take the gospel out. You see, the only answer these men offered was Jesus Christ. And this morning, He is the answer to our problems. And the Spirit was given to glorify Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to John 16. Let's notice real quick the work of the Spirit, why He was sent. Jesus mentions this in John 16, verses 13 through 15. He says there, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. I heard someone once say, if you happen to walk into a place and they make much of the Spirit and little of Christ, then you probably should get out of there. Because the Spirit is going to point people to Christ. He's going to glorify Christ. He's not going to exalt self. He's going to That's His purpose, is to point to the Savior, to point to the need. And the need is Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, Jesus Christ is the one who provides the answers to our problems. Of course, the obvious one is salvation. The guilt of sin. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. You've trusted in Christ as your Savior. If not, Jesus Christ provides or offers forgiveness and provides salvation to those that trust in Him. But you think of the Spirit. The Spirit has been sent to work. And the Spirit will work in our heart. He'll provide that new life, which we've read in Titus chapter 3. But also He'll teach us the things of God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talks about the Spirit searching the things of God and knowing those things and then giving that information to us. That's why the spiritual person can live right. They know right, they know wrong. They know, I should do this, I shouldn't do this. God expects this, God doesn't expect this. This is of the world, this is of God, because of the Spirit's direction in their heart and in their life. You see, the Spirit will teach us the things of Christ. Also, the Spirit will work to produce fruit in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to be made in the image of God, in the image of Christ, as far as we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the work of the Spirit in your life. That's why some get discouraged when there's troubles or trials. You know, our Lord and Savior faced a lot of troubles and trials on earth. The Bible tells us He became the captain of our salvation through His suffering. You know, we'll be conformed to His image a lot of times through troubles and trials and difficulties. That's when faith grows. That's when it's strengthened. That's when our trust in God, we look to Him. And we do rely upon Him instead of self. You see, the Holy Spirit will work in our life to make us in the image of Christ. And it's because He points to Christ. You know, this morning, Jesus is the answer. You know, in the Old Testament, pointed to Jesus Christ. The New Testament, the Gospels tell us about His ministry. The epistles elaborate on His teachings. And the Revelation tells us that He's coming again. But it's all about Jesus Christ. You know, many are looking for power today. There's a lot of seeking of power. Spiritual power, higher power, whatever people want to call it. But for the most part, it's personal. They're looking for personal power is what they're looking for. They want to get more money. They want a better job. They want a better career. They want this or they want that. It's selfish is what it is. You know, the Spirit provides power, His power. But it's His power to live for God. It's not His power to get what we want. It's His power to provide us to be witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has changed our life so we can tell others. You know, today the Spirit still provides power, and His purpose is still to reach the lost. And He'll still work through us if we yield our life unto Him. If you're saved, He resides within you. He'll provide power. He will never leave you. He'll provide power for you to share the gospel. It's just as simple as this. I know it sounds simple, but it really is. It's as simple as yielding unto the Spirit, then letting Him work through our life, and just sharing it with someone else. And let the Spirit work. You know, in closing this morning, I'm going to give you an illustration in closing as far as taking the message out. There's a story about a man by the name of John Currier. He was found guilty of a crime in 1949, and he was sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was paroled, and he was allowed to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. That all happened in 1949. Well, 1968 came, and a lawyer and some other people took up his case, began to look at things. Well, his sentence was terminated, and they declared that he was free. He could move on with his life, have all the freedoms of everything that an American citizen should have. Well, they got a letter ready to send to him, and they got it all set up, and now, this doesn't always happen. I don't want you to think that I'm against our government of any kind, but the letter just happened to get lost. And it was never delivered. And this man continued to live, believing he was still under, that he was on parole, that he was under this crime, and everything continued on just like it had. Well, a state parole officer ran across it when he was looking through some files and doing some work. He ran across this. And he looked upon it, and he realized that, hey, nobody had told him. And so this parole officer took it upon himself to find him. And he did. He took a trip, found out where he was, and he went out there on his own, delivered the message, had the letter, and told him of the good news. As far as the story goes, it said, of course, he rejoiced that he was set free. But that was 10 years after the letter was written. Now think of that this morning. As believers, as Christians, we have been entrusted with the most important message that this world has to offer. And that is salvation. People can be forgiven of their sin. They can be given a new life. They can walk with God. They can have all the blessings that God has for them. And they can look forward to eternal life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet that message has to be delivered. If nobody delivers it, if nobody takes it out, then nobody will hear it. The good news will remain with us, and it'll do them have no effect on their life. They won't know the blessings. They won't know what's out there or what's available. So this morning, in closing, as a church, Central Baptist Church 2015, as individuals, let's yield to God. Let's let Him work in our life. Let's yield to the Spirit. Let's follow His direction, and let's deliver this message that God has for us. Let's take it to everyone we know. Let's take it to our friends. Let's take it to our family members. Let's take it to our coworkers. Let's take it to strangers at the grocery store, at the gas station. Share with them the good news that God has. And you may say, well, Pastor, I only got a few minutes. Well, just take a tract and leave it with them. Invite them to our church. Invite them to the website. Just give them information so they can know about Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. I thank You for those that have come out this morning, and I pray that You have taken Your word and that You have just encouraged our hearts with it. We ask that You bless in this time of invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. We have no piano players this morning, so we're just going to have an invitation. I'm just going to have a time of quiet for a few minutes. If God has worked in your heart and you'd like to seek Him in prayer, I encourage you to do so. You can come pray at these altars. If you have any questions concerning salvation, hope and pray that's settled within your heart. But if not, if you're here this morning and through the course of this message, God has impressed upon your heart the need to get things right with Him, and you have questions, please come down. Myself or someone else can take the Bible. We can show you what salvation is and how you can know that you're saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just praying for somebody. Maybe this message reminded you of someone who's without Christ, and you want to lift them up to the Lord that He'll work in their heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you just want that. You're reminded of the importance of taking the gospel out, and you want God to work through you like He did those apostles. Whatever it is this morning, we're just going to take a little bit of time to seek the Lord in prayer. Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. Thank you for coming out. I know our services were a little bit different than normal, but what's that Bible tell us? Where two or three are gathered together in the name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, we don't have to have all the extras, and sometimes I think it's just a good reminder. We have the Lord. We have His Word. And we can just gather together and be encouraged by it. So it's good to see you out. Thank you for coming this morning.